Now, if you look in your notes, you'll notice here the title that I've given this morning's message, and it's up on the big screen as well, or it will be. Today's message, Celebrating a New Beginning. And that's exactly what this is. We're celebrating, as people are water baptized, we are celebrating a new beginning in one's life. They have beforehand received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and therefore in water baptism, part of what we're doing is we are celebrating a new start. Celebrating a new beginning that takes place in our lives. And most of us here have experienced that new beginning by, again, making Jesus the Lord of our lives. If you have a Bible with you, if you'd open up to the opening text of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be looking at a few passages of Scripture, both in our Bibles and up on the projector, on the screen. But again, we want to build our faith. Everything we want to do by faith. We don't want to do it again because it's just the thing to do. We want to have faith in what we are doing. And when we do, that's when the Spirit of God moves in a greater way in our lives. It may not even be a demonstrative way. It may be, but you know what? The most powerful things God does so often are down deep inside, in our lives, in our emotions, in all those things. And so praise God for that. Amen? If you look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's just begin reading as our opening text here, beginning with verse 14. It reads this way, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let's just pray and ask God to help us during this. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we approach the Word of God, we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, who the Bible says is our teacher and therefore will lead us and guide us into truth. And Father God, we just thank you for all that you have done in these folks' lives that are going to be baptized today and all you're yet to do in their lives as they go through this experience of being baptized. We thank you and believe you. Our faith is here for this, Father, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You'll notice in this passage, and there's so much in this, you'll notice the love of Christ compels us in verse 14. And so we are compelled by the love of Christ. Notice, and because we judge thus that if one died for all died. And we're going to deal with that just a little bit here this morning in a few minutes about the fact that when Christ died, from God the Father's perspective, we all died. He represented you on that cross, did he not? Each of us as individuals, he represented us on the cross. And so if one died, if the God-man died, not just anybody, but him, the Lord God Almighty became flesh and died for all of us. And by his death, we are identified with that and we have died with him. So say it with me, I died. Thank God, though, it doesn't end with that. Amen? It doesn't end with that. Let's go on with some things in this as well. Just to save time, going down to verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away." Aren't you glad for forgiveness? Aren't you glad for that blood of Jesus that washed away the old? Amen? "Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." And of course, in between those verses is this idea that if he died for all, then should we not, who have had him die for us, should we not live for him? And you know, part of the meaning of being baptized in waters, we're saying, you know what, from this point forward, I'm committing to live for Christ. I'm not just making a confession or praying a prayer. I am committing, I'm going to live for Christ. If he died for us, the scripture says, should we not be willing to live for him? Amen? To live for him. Some people say, you know, would you die for Christ in terms of martyrdom and whatever? Well, that's a good question. There's those many that do it today that die for him, and there's many throughout history that have. But you know what? If you're not able to live for him, I don't think you'd be strong enough to die for him. If that happened to happen or come across your path, all right? Let's look at our notes here and just read some other things. Roman numeral number 2. Let's read. It's important to know what the word baptized means. We try to share this so that everyone, especially our guests, understand why we do it the way we do. We understand that there are many traditions, sprinkling, pouring, infant baptism, etc. And we want to, first of all, show you what the meaning of that word baptism is. And in your notes, letter A, the word baptism or baptized means to cover wholly with a fluid. That word in its original meaning. It was it's a carryover from the Greek, and of course, it didn't always mean necessarily to be baptized in water. Many times in our society, our culture, we think baptism always about water baptism, but it didn't necessarily mean that in the original meaning, and really doesn't throughout Christianity or for us as well, but we won't go into that just yet. Notice, though, it means to cover wholly with a fluid, to stain or dip as with a dye. So if they would take a cloth in ancient times and they would dip it into a dye, they would say, more or less, they're baptizing it or immersing that cloth into that dye. And so going on with that idea, used of the smith also, tempering the red hot steel, used of dyeing the hair of a ship that dipped or sank. So if a ship sank, it was baptized. It was immersed, right? It has a literal and figurative meaning in the New Testament. The literal meaning is to submerge, to dip, or immerse as in water. And, you know, just to go back to that analogy of the dipping of a cloth into dye, you know as well as I do, once you have dipped that cloth into that dye, that cloth is never the same. Amen. It comes out representing the dye in many cases, right, as far as the color goes and what have you. But the point is this, it's never the same. It's changed, right? And we believe there can be and should be a change even when we're water baptized. It's a celebration of a change that's already happened within. But there ought to be something that happens again, spiritually speaking, a spiritual dynamic that happens even when we're water baptized. I believe that is the will of God. And that's why Jesus ordained it, as we understand from the scriptures. He ordained it, and he never ordained anything that didn't have some purpose to it. Amen? Let's go on with this. Roman numeral number 3, you'll notice this. There's more than one kind of baptism in the New Testament. Important for us to know. If you look up on the big screen from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, notice what it says. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity is the meaning there. Not laying again the foundation. And here he goes and begins. We won't read every verse pertaining to this, but he begins a list of essentially 6 when it's all said and done. They're not all listed in what I put onto the slide, but 6 foundational doctrines. The first one being repentance from dead works. The second one out of faith toward God. Notice the third one, and of the doctrine of baptisms, then, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I guess I did put them all out there. But notice now, in the bold or in the capitalization, the doctrine of baptisms is in the plural. And why is that important? Well, it's important because, again, number one, we often think of baptism solely as water baptism. But I want to look at what water baptism symbolizes in just a few minutes here, recognizing that it symbolizes another baptism that we experience when we've received Christ. It's an outward representation of a baptism that happened on the inside of us. Going on with this, notice now in your notes that number or letter A, water baptism, it reads, is an outward expression of an inward spiritual baptism, a spiritual baptism. Everybody say spiritual baptism. Now notice in your notes, number one, water baptism is a natural way to bring forth a spiritual truth. Before you are water baptized, you must be spiritually baptized into Jesus Christ. Now again, if you have a Bible, look at Romans chapter 6 for a moment, if you don't mind. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read several verses. Again, Romans chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1, but we won't linger on it a great deal, but we'll be referring back to some of these verses in a moment. In Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Now notice that. You and I died to sin, didn't we? And again, this is something that happens spiritually that I'll explain in a minute a little bit better. But remember, when we go down into the water represents death and burial. We are really signifying here that in a spiritual sense, we died with Christ, as I already mentioned, and we were buried with him. And then going on with this in verse 3, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Now, I won't get ahead of myself. Let's read on. Verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, which has had to have been dismantled or deprived of its power. That the body of sin might be deprived of its power, dismantled, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Remember in the context, he already told us as believers, we died. And so he said that those that have died have been made free from sin. We're talking about positional truth. We're talking about legally, you are free from sin. Now, vitally, we have to appropriate that. We got to live that out and fight it with the good fight of faith. Amen? But the position upon which we fight, or the stance upon which we fight against sin, is the position that we're already free from it, right? Amen. And so reading on with this again, in verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, verse 11, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he gives an exhortation in verse 12. Therefore, because of all that he said concerning freedom from sin, the fact that in Christ you died, therefore do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. All right, I'm going to stop there. We see the point of that. Going back then to our notes, and I'll probably refer to some things mentioned in that. Notice what it says there in number 2, Roman number 3, letter A, and number 2. Notice when we use the definition of the word baptism, which I gave you, we can see that this could be stated, this idea. Remember we read in verse 2, being baptized into Christ. And so with that definition, what could we say? Being immersed into Christ. Being saturated into Christ. Being placed into Christ. We could go on. We could say being immersed into him, submerged in him, dipped into Christ, right? Now, that doesn't happen when you're water baptized, but water baptism symbolizes and portrays or gives an illustration, if you will, of what already took place. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were placed into him. You were joined to him. Many times in the scriptures, marriage is likened to it to give us a little bit better idea. We understand that when a man and a woman marry, they it says the two become one. They become united, do they not? And in Ephesians 5, it talks about, when he talks about husbands and wives being united, the two becoming one, it also mentions the idea that this is a great mystery, but I speak pertaining to Christ and the church. You and I have been united to him. Our lives have been merged with his. And so in his death, we're identified with that. God saw him again as representing us. He died, so we died. Thank God we are identified with him in what he did, both in his death, his burial, and in his resurrection. Joined together with him. Amen. All right, now. Going on with this then, number 3 in your notes, you'll notice in verse 3, the Bible tells us, this is from Romans 6, that when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were also baptized into his death. Letter A, this could be stated as immersed into his death or placed into his death. We're talking about, again, position, legally, from God's legal perspective, that when he died, you were placed into his death. When you accepted Christ, you appropriated that for yourself. In other words, you took it for yourself. You owned it when you appropriated it by faith. You took it and received what he did for yourself. And so again, immersed into his death or placed into his death. B, this means when you surrendered your life to Christ. God has judged you as having died with Christ. And we give some scriptures. If you look up on the big screen, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 from the Amplified reads this way, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, you and I are the ones that deserve crucifixion. We're the ones that deserve death. The wages of sin is death, right? So we're the ones that deserved it. But thank God, God is a merciful and a gracious God. And he himself came to earth so that we wouldn't have to go through the punishment for sin. He took it for us in our stead. Amen. We should never tire of hearing this. There's more depth to it than what our minds can perceive, but let's take what we can. Amen. Let's understand it as much as we can. Notice Colossians 3, 3 and 4 reads this way. It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, it's such a freedom, really, when we realize that his life is our life. Such a freedom to realize that we're joined together with him. You know, no matter what the situation is, it all goes back to the concept of a covenant. We're in covenant with him. That covenant was ratified by the blood of Jesus. Covenant has the idea of a contract, a legal binding contract that we've come into. And you know, with that contract, there are so many things, promises that go. There's always terms to a covenant or a contract, isn't there? And so in those terms of the contract or the covenant, there are promises. And you know, so when you go through life, you realize, you know what, I'm not going through this life by myself. God, I have a problem. Your car is broken down. That needs fixing, God. Amen. I have a problem, God. My body, I have this problem with this sickness or this disease, God. But I belong to you. I have a problem, God. I'm in covenant with you. I believe that you're going to take care of that. In fact, I believe that's a promise that by his stripes, I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. Or whatever the case may be, isn't it a freedom to know that as our life is hid, as it says, with Christ in God, that our life is in his hands. And he loves us and cares about us, amen? Because we've been joined to him. We are members of his body. Members of him and members one of another, aren't we? Amen. All right, reading on then in our notes, notice there's other verses right here in Romans that we're going to just point out. I give the references in your notes, but look up here real quickly. Notice in verse 2, we who died to sin. Verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Verse 5, we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Verse 6, our old man was crucified with him. Going on with number 5 here, we've got he who has died is freed or cleared from sin. Verse 7, we died with Christ, verse 8, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 8, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, verse 13. I think he's trying to get something across to us, don't you? I mean, look at all the repetitive ways of saying that, that we died with Christ. He saw us as having already then been punished for our sin. Christ took your punishment, so you can say, I was punished already for my sin. Because Christ took that upon himself. Amen. I already died in Christ for my sin. You follow what I'm saying? Now, you don't get glory for any of it. It's by the grace of God he died for us, right? Amen. What an awesome plan. Amen. What a profound plan God has had for mankind to be forgiven and to be set free. Amen. Going on then in our notes, the bottom of your first page. We not only died with Christ, but we've also been raised, as it goes to the second side, to newness of life. Everybody say newness of life. We saw several of the verses in Romans 6, 4, 5, and 11 talking about the newness of life. We saw some of those. There's other scriptures for it that I give reference to in your notes, and so you can avail yourself to those. But going into your notes now to Roman numeral number 4, what is it that is dead and buried? What has died? We've read certain things. The old man was crucified with him. But what are some things that died? Let's look up on the screen. Let's look at some scriptures here. Notice going on to the next one, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Notice what Paul, again, inspired by the Spirit of God, says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, here's things that died. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such, Paul says to the Corinthians, and it applies to humanity as whole. We might not have been any of these, or certainly not all of these, but there are certain things that apply. And it would go on, this is not an all-inclusive list. One way or the other, we all have sinned. And so such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is good news, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Isn't it good news to know that no matter what we've done, we've been washed when we've accepted Christ? And this baptism in water is a symbol of that washing that has taken place. Amen? Amen. Look at another scripture up here, if you don't mind. Notice Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. That's in trespasses and sins. We once walked our, conducted our life in trespasses and sins according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That would be speaking of Satan and his kingdom. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as others. But you know what? In Christ, all that died. In Christ, all that's been washed. Amen? Aren't you glad? No matter what it was, no matter what way we walked according to the course of this world, no matter what way we followed the adversary, the prince of the power of the air, no matter how we walked, thank God through the blood of Jesus, it's all been washed. I titled this message as Celebrating a New Beginning. Thank God for that new beginning. Amen. Back into the notes here. Did I have more? I think I had more. Let's see here. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Notice the description of those not saved, really. The futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Thank God in Christ, we're no longer alienated from God's life. Amen? being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Amen. So many things to deal with that. Now, let's look at some things. Roman numeral number 5, back to your notes. What is it that is alive then and raised up? We talk about the bad news, but thank God the good news is it all died. But what's raised up now, right? What has raised up? Notice in your notes, Jesus has made all things new. It says in Revelation 21:5, it says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And I want to share with you today, in case you've never receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know he wants to make all things new in your life. You may feel like I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of the way I've lived. I'm tired of all the things that I have to go through. I want you to know there's an opportunity to start a new life through Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you'll have no problems, but you'll have someone to help you with those problems like you've never had before. It doesn't mean that you'll not have challenges or trials or anything else. It doesn't mean life is going to be a bed of roses, but it does mean that you're going to have a Lord and Savior who cares about you, and so much so that he died for you no matter how bad you've been, and he wants to wash you and cleanse you and start you on a new beginning as well. Notice what else. It talks about several things about being new or things that are new. Letter A, the new birth. I'm back to your notes. John 3, 1 through 7, Jesus said you must be born again. You know, there's people that don't realize, even Christians that don't understand that phrase born again. It means born anew. It means a spiritual birth. And if you're really a Christian, I maybe know there are no such things as any Christians who are not born again, whether they recognize that phrase or not. If you are a Christian, you are born again, whether you recognize that phrase. Jesus is the one that said it. Peter carried it on for sure in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 and other places. James mentions being begotten again or born again. Born anew, born by the Spirit, is it's described in John chapter 3 as well. A spiritual birth that takes place. The new birth, letter B, the new creation. We read in our opening text that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It says, behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Amen. So it doesn't end just with the new creation. He also mentions all things have become new. All things have become new. Thank God. Celebrating a new beginning. The new man is mentioned. Ephesians 4:24. Notice what it says in the Amplified. It's in your notes. It says it this way. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self. How many of you know that's inside? If you've been born again, if you've been born of the Spirit, if you've accepted Christ, there's a new nature on the inside of you, right? I mean, there still may be some lingering of old nature out here in the body and the way you think and whatever. God always starts on the inside and works his way out. Amen? It's kind of like fishing. You got to catch the fish before you clean it. Isn't that right? Amen? You don't clean the fish before you catch it, and so God's caught you. If you've accepted Christ, you've been caught, and now God's in the process of cleaning up our lives as we continue on. It starts on the inside. You are clean through the blood, but then it works its way out as we grow, and we get our minds renewed by the Word of God. Amen? And that'll be ongoing till he comes again, because none of us will reach perfection in this life, but that's part of the journey. That's part of the adventure. To grow in Christ. And then it says there's a new commandment now. The new commandment of love. John 13:34. With his love, we're now able to love like God loves. And then letter E, he's provided a new and living way. In the context of Hebrews 10:20, it's talking about a new and living way where we can approach God now. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and he spoke those last words, it is finished. There was a veil in the temple that divided the holy place from the most holy place. The most holy place was understood as being the place where God's presence dwelt. And at that moment, that veil was ripped in two. And that was a supernatural event that signified the fact that by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, now there is access to the presence of Almighty God by faith in him. Amen? And so when it talks about in Hebrews 10, as that reference is, talking about a new and living way, now we have a new and a living way to enter into the presence of God in prayer. We have access to God. You've got access. You know, you think about, security places or whatever the case may be, you know, high security, whatever. I want you to know that you and I have gained access to the living God by prayer and being able to come boldly to the throne of grace, because at that throne of grace, there is mercy and there is grace to help in time of need. Is there not? Amen. And so a new and living way is provided. We're talking about what have we been made alive and raised up to? A new birth, a new creation, a new man, a new commandment of love, a new and living way having access to God. And then there is coming in Revelation 21 and verse 2, the new heavens and the new earth. So what should a person expect in faith when they're baptized in water? What should people expect when they're baptized in water? Letter A, it talks a person that should expect to have a stronger foundation in their Christian walk. Remember we read up there Hebrews 6, 1 and 2? It's one of the foundational doctrines, the doctrine of baptism. It's part of our foundation. A house is only as strong as its foundation, right? So we should have, this should help. This is part of being a disciple. And so we understand that this will help strengthen your discipleship, if you will, or your following of the Lord. Letter B, a person should expect to have a fresh encounter with the Father in Jesus. We should always expect that. Whenever we obey God, he said, Jesus said in John 14, verse 21, he said, if you obey me, if you obey my word, my Father and I, we will manifest ourselves to you. Amen. God's going to show up. Amen? I believe it may not be a demonstrative way, but something deep within. Maybe it will be demonstrative. I've heard of people getting healed while they were baptized, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, God is willing and able to do whatever, but you know what? Don't be deterred if you think, well, nothing happened demonstratively, but it did happen within. God does a work in our lives. Amen? And then thirdly, I have here, and this is not necessarily all-inclusive, a person should release their faith as they're baptized to receive freedom from any bondage in their lives. You remember we talked about being dead to sin. Why not just say, you know what, when I go down the water, I'm going to come out free of cigarettes. I'm going to come out free of alcohol. I'm going to come out free of lust or whatever it might be. I believe God's power wants to show up when we follow through with these things. Amen? Amen. I want to wrap this up with some other things up on the big screen that are not in your notes. What does it mean to be water baptized? To give you these, then we're going to show a relatively short video that is inspirational. You're going to be blessed by it. But what does it mean to be water baptized? Let's go to the next frame. It's an outward testimony saying that you have repented of your sins. When you are up here, you're saying, you know what? I have turned from sin. Repent means you've turned around. Repent means you've gone from the way that you have been going, and now you're turning around to a new way in his way. Amen. And so repentance. Next one, number two. It's an outward testimony of an inward faith. Number three, it's a declaration of your commitment to Jesus Christ. For a true believer, baptism is saying goodbye to this old sinful life and hello to a life of dedication, separation, and identification with the Lord. Notice what the next frame says about where this idea of sacrament came from. This is powerful. It's interesting that early Christians called baptism a sacramentum. Also, communion was called that, a sacrament, people call it today, from which we get the word sacrament. Notice, this Latin word was used by Roman soldiers to refer to an oath of absolute devotion and obedience to their general. When a believer is baptized, he makes an oath of allegiance to his new commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next frame. Water baptism is, Derek Prince said, both total and transitional. It marks a transition, a passing out of one stage or realm of experience into a new stage, a realm of experience never previously entered into. And so it's a transition. There's a transition that takes place. And then the final frame says this. Water baptism is compared to the opening and closing of a door. The person being baptized passes through a door out of something old and familiar into something new and unfamiliar. And thereafter, the door is closed behind him, and there's no way of returning back. I found a video that I wanted to show you that really demonstrates this concept of a new beginning. This concept of, closing the door behind and opening up a new door. I believe that you're going to be blessed by it. Now, I just want to say that it's sung by a country singer. Some of them are saved. I don't know about this brother, but he might be. I have a feeling. After you see this, you're going to think, you know what? You know, how many of you know some of those Southern boys, they were raised by Christian mamas that won't let them go? Amen? Isn't that right? All right, a fellow by the name of Trace Adkins, and you'll also see a fellow that you're familiar with perhaps that we know is saved, and that is Stephen Baldwin. And this is just a powerful, inspirational video. I think you're going to be touched, and again, it's going to demonstrate the idea of closing the door behind and opening a new door, leaving the past behind. Amen? Let's watch that together. Amen? Amen. Well, again, that depicts a new beginning. That depicts leaving behind the old. Amen. He came home, didn't he? And you know what? When we come to Christ, we've come home. And this, again, is a celebration of coming home as well. And so we're going to start from left to right. And so, Danny, you're first. All right. Do you want to say anything, Danny? You do? Good.
Well, I've been...
Good time.
I've been wanting to do this for quite a long time because... It's a step to get close to God, and I love God, and I'm glad he's a part of my life.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. You don't need my... Cold, isn't it? Tell him it's freezing. You want to turn around and just sit down, right? Okay? Okay, I'm just going to lead you into prayer, and if you believe it, you just did after me, okay? God in heaven. I thank you that Jesus... is the Lord of my life. I know he died for me. Took my sin. Took my judgment. So I could be forgiven. I devote my life to him. From this day forward. I will live for Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just
hold your nose with one, your wrist with the other one. Okay, Danny, on confession of faith, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Amen, bud. Ready, Stephen? Did you want to say anything, Stephen? Okay.
Well, ever since I've accepted, I've just been wanting to do this, and I'm just very excited.
Praise God. Amen. You just want to turn around and sit down, okay? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If you believe it, you say that after me, okay? God in heaven. I thank you. That Jesus Christ died for my sin. He took my punishment. I died with him. And I'm raised to a new life. From this day forward, Lord, with your help, I will live for you. And I thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Stephen, hold your nose in one hand and your wrist with the other one. Stephen, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. You ready, Shannon? All right. Praise God. Did you want to share anything? Okay. We can get that towel.
Okay. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but God gave me a second lease on life, so I need to tell the story to you. 7 months ago, I had some different x-rays and things come up, and it showed up that they thought I had a cyst and down my lower abdomen. But then my doctor questioned it, so he wanted me to have another MRI, so I did. Well, it turned out that what I had really was a tumor on my right kidney, and it turned out to be cancer. So they removed the right kidney, and I was, you know, worried that, you know, he was worried that, you know, everything was going to be all right. So then he did biopsy, came back, and it showed that they got everything, and it hadn't spread anywhere. It was in the beginning stages, and thank God I didn't have to have chemo. But in the meantime, my blood results came back from my left kidney, and I had a problem with that kidney. There was almost a total blockage in that, and I had to have another surgical procedure. But he was worried that I wasn't going to go through it. I had to wait several weeks before I could have it done. So I wasn't worried because I knew that God had just entrusted that I was going to be all right and nothing was going to happen. And, you know, I got through it, and then the weeks went by, and so then I had this procedure done and a stent put in it. So now everything is unblocked and it's working perfectly fine. But thank God that, you know, this is what God wanted me doing. So I'm here to be water baptized today to give praise and glory and honor to him for all he's done for me.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Could be a little slippery on those steps, but I'm just going to help you here, okay? Take your time.
Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
That's it, yep. Now if you just turn around and sit down right there.
Oh, okay.
Yep. All right. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you believe it, you just say it after me, okay?
Right.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you.
For life. I thank you.
That Jesus Christ.
Died for me.
Took my penalty for sin.
So that I could be forgiven. And I thank you for health. I believe Jesus.
Is my healer.
And I thank you, Lord, for that. From this day forward. I live for you. And devote my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you just hold your nose with one hand and your wrist with the other one, all right? Shannon, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. There you go. All right.
want to share anything?
I've already did this once, but I believe that I haven't been very faithful in God and everything. I'm in a placement, and I don't believe that it's a good thing. So I wanted to be water baptized, and I'm very excited about it.
Well, praise God. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to lead you in prayer like I had been, okay? If you believe this, just pray this with me. Heavenly Father,
I thank you.
For forgiving me.
Jesus died for me.
His blood
has washed away my sin.
Has washed away my past.
And I have a new life.
And from this day forward,
with your help, Father God,
I will live for you
and fulfill your plan
for my life. I say again today
that Jesus Christ
is my Lord.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Just hold your nose in one, wrist with the other. Courtney, upon your confession of faith in Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Ready, Katie? Do you want to say anything?
I just wanted to say that God has done many miracles in my life, and I'm just really grateful I can know him, and I'm so happy I can do this.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, just lead in prayer then, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that my past is forgiven, and my future is bright. I thank you, Father, for all you've done in my life. From this day forward, I commit to live for you, to live for the one who died for me, in Jesus' name. Okay, hold you into one hand, your wrist with the other. Katie, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen.
This is really a testament to the power of prayer. My lovely wife, Ellen, has been praying for my salvation for years. This past year, I've gone through a lot of struggles, and it seemed the more I worked on them, the worse things got. I'll just share about one. I was looking for employment, and in August, I interviewed for what I thought was going to be the perfect job for me. And the first week of September, they called me up and said, sorry, we hired someone else. So at that point, I just realized I cannot do this by myself anymore. I need the help of Jesus. So that Sunday, I committed my life to Jesus. A week and a half later, I get a phone call. They said, the position is suddenly reopened. Would you be interested in interviewing again? And Monday, I started work.
Hallelujah. So,
thank you, God.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving my life, for dying for me. I thank you that Jesus Christ took my sin, took my judgment, so I could have life. I make him the Lord of my life afresh, and I believe, with your help, Lord, from this day forward, I will live for you and fulfill the plan that you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeff, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Gerard, you're next. Last
wow.
But not least.
What a family. I'm just really excited to do this. My last program in the last 11 months it's brought me very close to God. I'm so lucky that it's helped me out from death to this. And just another notch just brings me closer to God. I'm so thankful. And I am so grateful for this church and for my brothers and sisters and my family, my nieces and nephews, to be here, the witnesses, and the witness to God. This is going to be an amazing life.
Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He bore my sin. He took my judgment so I could be forgiven and washed from my sin. From this day forward, with your help, Lord, I will live for you, serve you, and fulfill your destiny that you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just hold your one hand, wrist another one. Gerard, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, buried with him in baptism, and raised to newness of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'd like to invite the worship team to come on up, if you would. And would you all stand with us? We're just going to worship God for a moment, and we'll be finished. And go away from here just praising God for his goodness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.